chapter number 2. So let's read chapter 2. Let's read verses 1. Let's read down through verse number 14. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And let's pray. Father, we just want to come to you tonight and thank you for your goodness to us, God. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me tonight. God, I pray that you would just empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. God, I pray that you would give me a clear mind to speak the words that you would have me to say tonight. God, how I need you. God, all's vain unless you show up. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak your word in a way that would please you tonight. God, please take the message and use it in the lives of your people. God, help us to leave here challenged and encouraged by the word of God. Lord, thank you for the examples in your word that we can learn from. God, I thank you for this man Elijah and how much I've gleaned from his life. And I thank you for what you've done in my heart as I've studied his life. And God, I pray tonight as we finish out this series, God, that you would help us to just learn what you would have for us, God. We love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. Please, God, meet with us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I said, we're going to finish up this series of messages. Am I on, guys? I didn't turn on at first, but I think I am now. We're going to finish up our series of messages tonight, Lord willing, on Elijah. It's not the last time that Elijah is mentioned in the Word of God. Actually, some of you probably already knew this, but I don't know how I missed it. I've read through my Bible numerous times over the years that I've been saved, and I don't know that I had really taken notice of this, but this is the last chapter in this part of Elijah's life. But there is another part that I thought about preaching on, but I'm not going to. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, you can read it for yourself sometime. There's a letter from the prophet Elijah. It's very interesting. I don't know that I'd ever noticed it before. I don't know that I've ever heard a message preached on it. If I did, I must have missed it. But Elijah evidently wrote a letter
to a king in 2 Chronicles and gave him somewhat of a decree like he did Ahab and Ahaziah, as we looked at last week. But that's an interesting story in the Word of God. If you look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, that mentions Elijah then. Obviously, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took James, John, and who else? Peter up on the mountain. I had to think there. When he took James, John, and Peter up on the mountain, there was Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so this is definitely not the last time that we hear about, or even see Elijah in the Word of God. Many believe that in Revelation, I haven't been in here on Wednesday nights with the teens. I pastor, I'm sure it's been past that passage of Scripture, and I'm not sure how he preached it, but many Bible students believe that Elijah was one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, or are one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. It's very interesting. Most people believe Elijah is definitely one of them. Some believe Moses is the other because of what they do. They can cause the heavens to stop. They can cause water to turn to blood, some of the things that Elijah and Moses did. Others believe that it's Elijah and Enoch because they both were translated and didn't see death, and so they've got to come back and die. And I don't know who it is, but I think it's interesting. But either way, Elijah's not done, right? Elijah still got more to do, but tonight I'm going to finish up on this part of Elijah's life. And so we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I'm going to complete my series of messages, and we're going to look at the departure of Elijah. The departure of Elijah. I believe we're going to see a couple things that we as Christians should desire as we depart. And can I tell you, we don't know when we're going to depart. We have no. The Bible says a man doesn't know what a day may bring forth. According to a man that Meredith and I left yesterday, it could be very soon for me. Meredith and I went to Verizon yesterday. We got some new phones and won't go into all that, but had to go to Verizon. And while we were there, we were talking to the man. It's really, I don't have anything to do with my message other than the fact that we don't know when we're going to depart and that I might need to get a haircut. We're talking to this guy, and we're having a conversation, and so we're talking about phones. He's trying to convince me that I need to switch from Apple to Samsung. He wasn't trying to convince me. He practically convinced me, okay? But that's it for another story. But as Meredith was walking off and was looking at some phones, he's talking to me, and he's trying to sell me this stuff, and he's talking about the cloud, and he says, you know, it's like this. He said, you know, your daughter over there, she's got an iPhone 15. He said, your daughter over there. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know if he just complimented Meredith or he insulted me. I'm not sure what happened, but then to make it even worse, we continue with our conversation, and he's like, you know, he says, so, you know, you buy into the, I'm going to teach y'all what he taught me. He said, you know, Samsung, you get all that free, free stuff in Google. You can save all your stuff in Google. He said, with iPhone, you got to have the iCloud. He said, you got to pay a monthly fee. And he's like, you know, if you get an unlimited storage, he said, it might cost you $5, $10 a month for that. He said, so we say $10 a month, you got to pay for unlimited storage for you and your wife. He said, what's that going to cost you in a year? I said, $120. He said, that's right. He said, you know, hey, you got, what, 10, maybe 20 years left? I said, good night. I wanted to say, Earl, how old do you think I am, man? Good night. You done called my wife and my daughter, and now you're telling me I got 10 or maybe 20 years. I mean, he was giving me maybe 20, right? I was like, man, I'm 5 years younger than you are. But anyway, I texted the barber in Rucksville, Adam, after I said, Adam, I need an emergency haircut. I've let my hair get too long, and the white's really showing, and the man told me, I mean, he's putting me in the grave, right? So I'm not sure when we're going to depart. For some, it could be sooner than others. But we need to be ready, right? We need to be ready. And Elijah, I believe, was ready. I don't know how old Elijah was. I've tried to do some research and some reading. I'm not exactly sure. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about this man, Elijah. I will tell you what the Bible does say about him, and I think this is important. I'm going to mention it now, and I'll mention it again at the end of my message. The Bible says in James chapter number 5, God wanted us to know this. He put it in the Word of God for a reason. It says that Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What that means is that Elijah was like you. Elijah was like me. He was a man. If you look that word up in the Greek, I won't try to say it to you, but it is, he was human. And he was subject to like passions like we are, right? So Elijah was not a superman, a superhuman. He was a normal individual, and God wants us to know that. And so if Elijah could do the things that he did, then I believe we could do some of the things that he did. Now, obviously, we could talk about the dispensation of time and when Elijah was living and some of the miracles that were done and how God is dealing with people in this day, and we could go into all that. But regardless, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was just like you and me. And I want to look tonight at how Elijah departed from this earth. And I believe there's some things that we can learn from his departure. Now, obviously, 2 Kings chapter number 2 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've heard many sermons preached from these sections of Scripture. You've probably heard many sermons preached from these sections of Scripture. We could look at it from many different angles. There's so many truths and so many things that we could pull from 2 Kings chapter number 2. But I want to try to focus just on the man Elijah. I'm not going to try to look a whole lot at Elisha. I'm sure I'll mention him as the message goes on. But I do want to just look at Elijah, and I want to see the departure of Elijah. And so the first thing I want to see about Elijah's departure, I've only got 3 points tonight, all right? I really have planned to try to get done early. We've got the Lord's table, and then they got me up here so early, and now I can just preach on. Y'all got a good nap, everybody's rested, and I got up here at a good time, and so I can just preach on.
Amen.
Oh, amen. There, that's what I'm talking about, right? Preach on, preacher, amen. That's right. No, but I honestly knew we had the Lord's table tonight, and I kept that in mind when I was preparing. And I really just want to share with you 3 things about this man Elijah as he departed. 3 things that we can learn from his departure. Number one, I want us to look at his trust. His trust. Look at verse number 2 of 2 Kings chapter number 2. The Bible says, well, we'll read verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And he said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. And look at verse number 2. I got this underlined in my Bible. It says, for the Lord has sent me. The Lord hath sent me. Look at verse number 4 again. Elijah says unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me. Verse number 6, again, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me. You see, here at the end of Elijah's life, Elijah has learned that he can trust God, right? I believe Elijah always knew his entire ministry that he could trust God, but I'm not sure that he quite got it like he did at the end of his life. I believe Elijah, as we've looked through his life and some of the ups and downs, and we saw him when he was in the cave and he asked God to take his life. Elijah had some high points and he had some low points. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, right? But by the time Elijah comes to the end of his life, there is something that Elijah has learned that I want to learn. There's something that Elijah has learned that I hope you will learn. And that is this: we can trust God. Elijah has learned what it is to trust God. As you read through 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I've read through this passage of Scripture, I don't even know how many times over the past week as I've been trying to prepare and meditate and get ready for this message, and I've just read and reread and reread this passage of Scripture. And I'm telling you, the more you read 2 Kings chapter number 2, the more you can see Elijah is a man that trusts God. Elijah has the peace of God in his heart. Elijah, I believe, knows that he is getting ready to step off the scene. I personally believe that Elijah is aware of the fact that he is leaving. It's obvious that Elisha knows it. It's obvious that the sons of the prophets know it. And I personally believe possibly they heard it from Elijah. Look at it in verse number verse number three, it says, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. How do you know it, Elisha? Well, maybe God told him. But I believe maybe Elijah told him. Elijah is coming to the end of his life, and God says, Elijah, I've got one last task for you. I've got one thing for you to do, and this isn't my message tonight, but it's interesting what Elijah does. He goes to these places, and they're very interesting places. He leaves Gilgal, and he goes down to Bethel, the house of God. He goes down to Bethel, where actually at this point in time, it is not the place of God. It's not the house of God. It means the house of God, but Bethel at this time is a place of idolatry, but there's a school of prophets there, and Elijah, in his last days, he goes down, and he spends some time there with that school of prophets, those sons of the prophets. Most people believe that this was kind of like a Bible college in their day, a place where they trained preachers. And Elijah goes down there. Maybe he started the college. I don't know. But Elijah goes down there, and maybe possibly Elijah tells these sons of the prophets. Maybe Elijah tells Elisha, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. God has told me that my time of departure is at hand. You know, God will tell people that. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy, and what did he say? He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, Timothy, I'm leaving. And I believe when you walk with God, the Bible says that the secret things of the Lord are shown unto them that walk with him. And God, I believe, had showed Elijah, it's time for you to leave. And Elijah knew that he was leaving, and Elisha knew that he was leaving, and the sons of the prophets knew that he was leaving. But yet in the midst of all of that, all you can find in 2 Kings chapter 2 is a dear saint of God with the peace of God. You don't see Elijah. There's nowhere in this passage, if you read it, where Elijah seems concerned. Elijah has got peace. Why? Because Elijah has learned to trust God. I think about Paul in Philippians chapter number 4, where the Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I think that Elijah had learned that. I think Elijah had learned that God's ways are always the best ways. And Elijah learned what it was to have the peace of God. I mentioned Philippians chapter 4, where it talks about, Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state to be there with content. I believe a couple verses before that, I think it's verse number 7, he said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I believe Elijah had that peace. Why? Because he trusts God. Elijah was trusting God. Now, can I tell you, it's easy to talk about trusting God. It's easy for me as a 62 possibly. I don't know when he thinks a man dies. If he was using the Bible, I'm thinking 70. You know, it's what we're given. And so if I got 10, that means I'm 60. Maybe 20. I might live to 80. I don't know. But either way, hey, you know, I'm 42 years old. It's easy to talk about trusting God until I'm the one that's getting ready to depart. Until I'm the one that's gotten that news. Until you're the one that's gotten that news. So I stand up here not acting like a super Christian here. I stand up here a man subject to like passions as you are. But I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God that we as children of God can learn from this man Elijah that when it comes our time to depart, we can trust God. I want to trust God. I mean that with all of my heart. I want to know what it is to trust God. And Elijah trusted God. He trusted in the peace of God. I believe he trusted in the plan of God. I read it to you in verse number 2. He said, the Lord has sent me. The Lord has sent me. Why? Why is God sending Elijah? Elijah, you're going to leave, but I want you to go down to Bethel. I want you to go down to Jericho. Elijah, I want you to go down to the Jordan River. And Elijah could have done like some of us and said, why, Lord? Why? I mean, if I'm leaving, can't I just go? But God wasn't done with Elijah. And Elijah had learned that he needed to trust the plan of God. Can I ask you tonight, have you learned to trust the plan of God? I sure hope that I'm learning to trust the plan of God. Elijah had the mindset, God, wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you say do, I'll do. He had learned this. I believe it with all of my heart. Elijah had learned to trust God. I was talking to Brother North this morning. I knew he wouldn't be here tonight. He's not able to come on Sunday nights, but maybe he's watching by live stream. I don't know. But Brother North is a man that by his own testimony believes it's not long before he departs. And he's been very sick this past week. Some of you know you've prayed for him. He was in the hospital last Sunday, and we were talking this morning, and he was telling me, I'm just trying to learn. He had no idea what I was preaching tonight. He said, I'm just trying to learn to trust God. He said, he's got me here. And I said, Brother North, he's got you here for a reason. When he's done with you, he's going to take you. And so can I tell you tonight, some of you that are a little bit older like me, you say, why is he leaving me here? He's got a reason. I thought about Dr. Thompson. I know Brother David, I believe Brother David's with his dad this weekend. But I thought about Dr. Thompson, a man of God that's in the last days of his life. He's not long to depart from this world. And his family may be wondering, why is God keeping him here? And I'm here to tell you tonight, family, if you're watching, he has a purpose. He has a plan. See, God is always active. God's always a God of activity. God is always doing something. And I don't know what God was doing, but there was a reason that God wanted Elijah to go to Bethel. There was a reason that God wanted Elijah to go to Jericho. There was a reason that God had Elijah go down to the Jordan River. You see, God had something he wanted Elijah to do. And Elijah had learned that God's plan is the best plan. He had learned to trust in the plan of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to trust the plan of God. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Elijah was a good man, and God was ordering his steps. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching tonight to a group of people that I believe are some good people. And God is ordering your steps. And you may not understand every step that God's leading you through and every place that God's taking you to. But can I tell you, you just got to trust the plan. If God's leading you, just follow him where he leads, because there's a reason. There may have been a son of the prophet that needed what Elijah had to say. There may have been someone down there in Bethel that needed to see that man of God and get that last message. I don't know whether he preached a message while he was there or not, but if he's like most preachers, he preached a message while he was there. He preached a farewell sermon. And oh, how I would have loved to have heard what Elijah said to those sons of the prophets as he was getting ready to step off the scene. No doubt if he did preach a sermon, he told him about Mount Carmel. He told him about being down in Zarephath. He told him about the drought. He told him about Ahab. He told him about all the miraculous things that he had seen God do. And no doubt God was using Elijah during this time of his departure. And Elijah had learned to trust God. And I'm just telling you tonight, hey, we need to trust God. We need to trust the plan of God. God has a plan. And I want to trust it. Elijah trusted the peace of God. He trusted in the plan of God. Wherever he sends me, I'll go. Whatever he says, I will do. Proverbs 3:5, we know that verse of scripture. We quote it all the time, but do we believe it? The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Bible says, trust the Lord. I looked up the word. I searched in my Bible app on my phone the word trust, and there were so many scriptures. I couldn't even begin to write them all down over and over and over. In the Word of God, the Bible tells us, trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You can trust God. Psalm 18:2, David said this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He goes on in verse number 30 of Psalm 18 and he says, as for God, his way is perfect. I believe Elijah had come to the place in his life where he understood God's way is perfect. God's way is right. And as David said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Can I tell you, the word of the Lord is tried. It's been tried, it's been tested, and it's always right. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. You say, what's a buckler, Brother David? It's a protector. It's a shield. It's a buckler. He said, the Lord is a buckler to those that trust in him. And I believe Elijah was a man that had learned to trust God. As he was departing this world, we see his trust. He trusted in the peace of God. He trusted in the plan of God. I believe he had learned to trust in the power of God. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together. And look at it. He smote the waters and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. It's like Elijah, I mean, at this point in his ministry, and I don't want to say this and sound like I'm degrading this situation, but I just believe that Elijah, this man of God, this old saint of God, and I don't know how old he was, but this man that had been used and had learned some things from God, I believe he come to the end of his life and he just trusted the power of God. He walks up to the Jordan River and almost as you read it, I mean, you don't see him crying out to God, oh God of Abraham, of Jacob, of Isaac, oh God, please part this river. No, he just walks up, wraps his mantle, and the Bible says he smote the water and it split open, right? Elijah had learned what it was to trust in the power of God. He had seen it so many times before. He had seen God move. He had seen God do miracles. He knew what God could do and he trusted it. Do you trust it? Do I trust it? Do we trust in the power of God? to save that lost person that we love? Do we trust in the power of God to answer that prayer that we've prayed? Do we trust in the power of God to do what he said he will do? See, Elijah had learned to trust God. He trusted in the peace of God. He trusted in the plan of God. He trusted in the power of God. And so number one, we see his trust. Number two, I don't just see that Elijah was a man that trusted God, but I believe we see this. We see his testimony. His testimony. You're talking about a man with a testimony. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." What a testimony. You know, this very interesting passage of scripture right here, and I won't go into all that it says. I'm not sure that I even understand it. There's a lot of different opinions about what Elisha is asking Elijah for here. Some believe that he's asking Elijah for the spirit of the power to do miracles and the spirit of Elijah to do some of those great things Elijah did. Some believe that he's asking for the firstborn, the right of the firstborn, and that he would get to be of the sons of the prophets. He would get the firstborn's rights, which means they get a double portion of all the others. And he wanted to take that position that Elijah had. There's many different opinions about what this means, but I'll tell you what I think it means. There's a lot of different opinions about it, but I think Elisha is asking, I think it's very clear what he's asking for. I think he's saying, hey, what you want, Elijah, I want it, and a whole lot of it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Elijah, I've been watching you. I believe he's been walking with Elijah maybe 10, 15 years now. If you read the history and study the dates, possibly 10, 15 years, Elisha, since he had been called to follow Elijah. And so over these past years, Elisha has been walking with Elijah. And I believe Elisha is saying to Elijah, hey, whatever you've got, I want it, and I want a lot of it. I wonder if anybody say that about us. I thought about that today. Wonder if there be anybody that would say of Brother David, whatever he's got, I want it, and I want a lot of it. I doubt there's many that's going to say that, right? But I wonder, would they say that about you? What a testimony. That this man would say, what he's got, I want some of that. I don't just want some of it, I want a lot of it. I mean, he had a testimony that was desired. He desired what Elijah had. Look at verse number 14. It says, "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters." And look at what he said. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I wonder if my children will ever say, "Where's the Lord God of my daddy?" I wonder if your children will ever say, "Where is the Lord God of my mama? Where is the Lord God of my preacher? Where is the Lord God of my papa, of my grandma? Where is the Lord God of my bus captain? Where is the Lord God of my Sunday school teacher? Where is the Lord God of this person in my life?" I wonder if there would ever be someone that would say that of you, if there would ever be someone that would say that of me. That is a testimony. The fact that Elijah is at the end of his life, he's getting ready to leave. Actually, at this point, he's already left. And Elisha is saying to God, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want what Elijah had." I wonder if anybody will ever desire to have what I have. I wonder if anybody will ever desire to have what you have. They should. Because we've got Christ. We've got God. We've got the Holy Spirit. That spirit that he wanted was not Elijah's spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. And we have it. We're indwelt with it. And I just wonder, are we living a life that somebody would desire to live? That's a convicting thought. I mean, that is a convicting thought. Elisha said, "I want what he's got." So we see it described. We see it desired. Number two, we see it described. Look at what he's got. You say, what does he got? Well, we've been looking at it for 9 weeks now, but look at when he leaves. Elisha gives a description of what Elijah's got. Look at verse number 12. Elisha, when he saw him go up, he cried. He said, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You say, what does that mean? I read and read and I studied and I looked at concordances and commentaries and I tried to figure out what does this mean? And this is what I've come up with. It's like Elisha is just saying, he's saying, hey, Elijah, you've been like a parent to me. Elijah, you've been like a parent to Israel. But not only that, you've been a protector. He said, my father, you've been like a father to me in the faith. He's not his earthly father, even though their names are very similar. If you didn't know the Bible, you probably think, well, Elisha's Elijah's son, right? He's not Elisha's son. We know that from when Elijah came and called him, but he's his son in the faith. And so he says, my father, you've been like a spiritual parent to me. But not only that, he says, you've been a protector to Israel, protector to God's people. That word there, if you look it up, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, that phrase is used numerous times in the Bible. It's basically, one man said, I think I wrote it down. One man said, he said, that's equivalent to an entire army. He said the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof is the equivalent to an entire army. Basically, Elisha said, Elijah, you have been like an army for God. What a testimony. You've been like not just a soldier, you've been an entire army for God. I couldn't help it, Pastor, as I was preparing this message, knowing that Dr. Thompson is on the last leg. I mean, the man is getting ready to depart this world and has served God. We went by and visited him a couple weeks ago, and he's telling us about when he was in Russia and he was over in Hungary and all those places over there, and how that he traveled and some of the things that they saw. And I mean, been serving God 60, 70 years. And I thought about what a man of God, what an Elijah, been like an army to the people of God. And there's men in this room tonight, they wouldn't want me to say their name because I understand they're just like Elijah. And if you read this, I believe Elijah's that way. Elijah keeps telling Elijah, you just stay here. I don't think, I'm not sure what all was going on there when Elijah was saying Elisha to stay there, if he just didn't want Elijah to see what was going to happen because he was so humble and he didn't want Elijah to see all that was going to happen, or if he was testing Elijah. I'm not Elisha. I'm not sure what was going on. But there's men in this room tonight that they wouldn't want me to say it, but Brother Larry Enbone sat back there, pastor to church and in his 80s and still serving God, a chariot of Israel, a protector of the people of God. A parent to many men of God. Our pastor, he's got maybe 10 guys, maybe 20, right? He must think me and him, because he got my, I gotta tell you, man, you got me mixed up with my father-in-law, man, right? But he's in his mid-60s, early 60s, right? He's in his early 60s. He's got 10, maybe 20, right? Maybe a little bit longer, I don't know. But he's been a parent to many in the ministry, been a parent to me, and been a parent to many of you, and been a protector of God's people, been a shepherd of God's flock, and that's what Elisha's saying about Elijah. He said, Elijah, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He said, oh, and he rent his clothes and he says, Elijah's gone. I mean, you're talking about a testimony. What a testimony. And you know, you don't have to be a preacher to have that testimony. Amen. We've heard our pastor talk about his grandmother many times. She wasn't a preacher, except at the house. And some of you have got a parent or a grandparent. They're not a preacher, but their life sure has preached a message. They sure have left a legacy. They sure have a testimony that you would desire, a testimony that you would describe as a parent in the faith, as a protector of God's people, as someone that's fighting. You know what Elijah and Elisha would do? They were fighting idolatry in the land of Israel. They were standing on the battlefield in the face of Ahab, in the face of Jezebel, in the face of those Baal worshipers. They were standing between the devil and God's people. And there's some people here tonight, you've got a grandmother or a mother that, oh no, she'll never stand in a pulpit. She may never even teach a Sunday school class, but she's been a protector, and she's stood between the enemies of Satan and the forces of evil and God's people. And she's got a testimony that you would desire. She's got a testimony that you would describe as somebody that done something great for God. I want that kind of testimony. And I believe I'm speaking to a group of people here tonight that do too. And can I tell you, you can. Elijah was a man. I want to say that again tonight, as many times as I can before we finish out this series on his life. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like you and me. But when he departed, he had a testimony. I think of Enoch. The Bible says he had a testimony that he walked with God. I believe Elijah had a testimony that he walked with God. Apostle Paul, I was thinking about Elijah, and my mind just kept going to Paul, a New Testament version, I believe, another example of an Elijah. Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. That's what Elijah done. That's what I want to do. I believe that's what you want to do. Keep the faith. Finish your course. Trust in God. Have a testimony as someone that someone else would desire to have. Amen. And so number one, we see his trust. Number two, we see his testimony. Number three, and I'm done, we see his triumph. Look at verse number 11. It says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I was thinking, what a difference between Elijah's departure and Ahab's. Remember how Ahab departed? Bible said the dogs licked his blood. Jezebel, Ahaziah, many others, how they depart from this world. But Elijah, the man of God, the servant of God, someone that trusted God, when he left, it was a triumphant exit. Can I tell you, God's people, they leave different. Amen. They leave different. Amen. They live different, and they leave different. That's right. It's a wonderful thing. I've said it many times when I've preached. I don't know that I'll ever forget it, and I'll say it for some of you that don't know it. But we were out at the hospital, Pastor, and I was a young Christian. You know what? Talking about a testimony. Some of you will know this person, some of you may not. But you're talking about a testimony, not a preacher. I don't know if he ever taught a Sunday school class. If he did, it was way before my time. But Pastor and I was out at the hospital one night on a Sunday night. It was after Sunday night service we went out there. I rode with Pastor and we went out. And Brother Dobbins was out at the hospital, the mercy room up at Martha Jefferson on Pantops. We went in there and they let us on back air. And they had run some tests. He had been falling out and being dizzy and different stuff. And they run some tests. And I'll never forget it. It just sticks out in my mind because it's a testimony. His departure was a testimony to me. And we were sitting there, and the doctor come in, and he said, well, Mr. Dobbins, he said, we've got your test results back. And he said, would you like to ask these folks to leave? And he said, no, they can stay. That's my pastor and his son-in-law. They're fine. They can stay. And he was like, well, it's kind of, you know, something we'd rather talk to you in private about. He said, no, it's nothing to hide here. He said, well, Mr. Dobbins, he said, we found a tumor the size of a lemon on your brain. He said, you're not gonna live very long. He said, okay, thank you, sir. Talked a little bit, he left. I'm not lying. Am I lying, Pastor? He sat there in that chair, and I'm not saying this because I'm trying to swindle some money out of you. I'm just telling you the facts of what happened. He sat there in that chair, and he said, hey, hon. He said, go ahead and write our tithe check for this week. They wasn't there that morning. He said, go ahead and write our tithe check for this week and next in case I'm not able to be there, and give it to Pastor. You're talking about a testimony. Man just got told, you're not going to live very long. You got a tumor the size of a lemon on your brain. Can you, hon? That's what he called Miss Dobbins. Hon, would you write the tithe check? He didn't miss a beat. You know why? He lived different and he left different. Amen. I remember going over to his house. Some of you were there. We went over there and sing and I mean, just had a big time, a good time. Why? Because God's people, they live different and they leave different. Elijah lived different, and now it's time for Elijah to leave, and he left different. He had a triumphant exit. And can I tell you, all of God's children are going to have a triumphant exit. One day, whether it's by the grave or by the air, we're going to lay this old body down and we're going to do the same thing Elijah done. If we go to the grave one day, that grave's going to open up and the dead in Christ shall rise and we're going up into air just like Elijah did in triumph, in victory. You see, Elijah, sometimes people look at Christians and they think, oh man, they're losing, they're living in defeat. No, one day we're going to rise and they're going to see that we're going to leave in victory. His exit, his departure was triumphant.
Right.
I've done about his exit being triumphant. I'll tell you this, it was sudden. Look at it in verse number 11. I couldn't get past it. It says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, look at it, that behold. I mean, they're talking, they're walking. I'm picturing this old man of God, and I'm picturing him as old. He might not have been old. He might have been like me, looked old, but he wasn't. But either way, I'm picturing him as old, right? And so I see this old man of God walking by this young man of God, and the Bible says they're talking. They're walking and they're talking. Wouldn't you love to have been a part of that conversation? They just parted the Jordan River. They just left Jericho and Bethel. They know that Elijah's time is short. They don't know when he's going to leave, but they're walking and they're talking, and the Bible says, behold. You know what that means? It means suddenly. Out of nowhere. Behold, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Look at it. It says, behold, in verse number 11, it says, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. You know, no matter what, how long we think it's coming, and no matter how much we try to prepare for it, when it happens, it's kind of sudden. You don't know when it's going to happen. As I mentioned, Dr. Thompson, we don't know when it's going to happen. But when it does, you know, it's going to be sudden. Behold, just like that. But thank God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the twinkle of an eye, right? That's what the Bible says, in the twinkle of the eye. Before you can even blink your eye, boom, suddenly, departed, triumphant. It was sudden. Can I tell you this? It was supernatural. Elijah's departure was supernatural. And can I tell you, hey, the departure of all God's saints is supernatural. The natural man's going in the ground from whence he came. The Bible teaches that. We came from the dirt and we're going to the dirt. This old body's going down. But can I tell you, this spirit, this soul, it's going up. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural departure. And one day all of God's children are going to depart, and it's going to be supernatural. It's going to be sudden, and it's going to be supernatural, and it's going to be triumphant in victory.
Amen.
And so as we look at the life of Elijah, we see a man, we see his trust, we see his testimony, we see his triumph. And I thought about this, man. You know, it's almost like I watch some of you probably as well, being where we're at, probably watch them as well. I like watching a good Western. Brian don't. He just said, Alan does. Me and Alan watch Westerns, right? And sometimes the cowboy at the end of the episode, I mean, it's amazing, you know. Like, you just sit there in suspense. I wonder what's going to happen, right? I wonder if he's going to die this time. Yeah, right, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? He's going to ride off into the sunset. You know what Elijah's doing? He's riding off into the sunset. This man of God, this great saint of God, he's departing, and it's like he's just walking along with Elisha. I think this is where they got it from in Westerns. I'm just going to see. Now I'm giving you a reason to watch Westerns now. It's biblical, right? They ride off into the sunset. You know where they got that from? They got that from 2 Kings chapter number 2. Elijah, he got on that chariot and them horses. Hey, I don't even know if he got on them. He might have just went up with them in the whirlwind. But either way, he rode off into the sunset. So now you can go home and watch a Western night and say, I'm just, you know, it's biblical to watch Westerns, right? Last week, I couldn't believe last week I broke out that old hymn of the faith. Y'all remember that? He sees you when you're sleeping. I thought I got home. I said, what in the world was I thinking? You know, but see, I'm just trying to put my stamp of approval on everything, right? But anyway, hey, he rode off into the sunset. I need to stop. It's 7 o'clock and I'm done. Listen, hey, I want to have a testimony. I want to trust God. I want to leave triumphantly. And the Bible says that Elias was a man subject to like passions. He was just like you and me. And if he could trust God, all the way to the end, if he could have a testimony that somebody would desire, if he could have a departure that was triumphant, guess what? You can too. And I can too. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to have the pianist come to the piano.